He made his mother a promise of graduation from college. He made good on that promise. Sunday is graduation day.
I will be back for our walkthrough at 11. Do you have a problem with it? Every person in the organization said, as long as you're back, I don't care.
Carter trying to get free. Carter at the buzzer. No good. And the Sixers hold on and advance to the conference finals.
All I think about is that shot. You know? Something you live for. You know? Maybe next year.
I don't want to dunk anymore.
Why not?
For what?
He suffered what appears to be a leg injury on a drive.
Right there, you can tell on the penetration he heard it, Chuck.
There was a time they said he was half man, half amazing, and tonight he is nothing but net. Vince Carter has been traded from Toronto.
Why did Toronto go ahead with this deal then?
Because they don't like Vince Carter, because they're tired of him. He's insulted the organization. They feel he's basically tanked it on them because he wanted out of town.
How I was used in Toronto and how I'm used in Jersey is totally different. You know, so you know, I think people just want to feel that way just because, yeah, they're mad that I left.
From North Carolina, 6'6 guard number 15, Vince Carter. And from California, 6'4 guard number 5, Jason Kidd.
Sports Felon story time. We are looking back May 20th, 2001, Raptors versus 76ers, game 7. Vince Carter's shot before the shot, it rims out. Raptors lose. The Sixers go on. They beat the Bucks and then they get crushed by the 2001 Lakers. Everyone would have got crushed by the Lakers. That's not new, but it begins a really ugly period for the Raptors and Vince Carter. We talked about this off the top, where Vince going to graduation was sort of the first time there was a little problem with between any Raptors player and fan base. It had been all gravy up to that point. Vince was this sort of supernova that was full of positivity, and he dunk contests, and he was a face of the franchise. And then the graduation was the first time there was any negativity. And for what it's worth, people on the radio and fans weren't the only one that blamed Vince for going to graduation. His own teammate, Charles Oakley, was also pretty anti-grad.
If Vince doesn't go to graduation, are you guys in a conference final?
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down.
Why?
Because we still waited on him, even though we had our team there, but he's the one, that, you know, he's like saying, you know, can Jermaine Jackson sing every Michael Jackson song? So, no. He, his brother, he won the Jackson 5, but Vince was just special. He was something special at that era, at that time. He was our captain. For him taking off time, and you know, he came and he played a good game, but it's just something, you know, like I said, it's like a band member off key. You can know the difference. We still had his back. He's still our brother, you know. We just, you know, it was important to him in his life. We gave him the respect. We wish he would have, you know, he made the right decision for him, but it wasn't a team decision.
So Charles Oakley goes and signs with the Wizards, and 20 years later says, we would have won that game if Vince didn't go to graduation. fuck you, Oakley. I mean, come on.
It's also sort of like, you sort of touched on it previously about how this was like the first anti-Vince moment ever. Like, yes, the first negative thing ever. It's crazy how quickly and how easily the anti-Vince sentiment started from this.
Totally. The next season plays 60 games, so he misses 22 games the next season. Still a very good season. He averaged basically 25 points a game, but the team is 42-40. They slip pretty considerably. They are a bottom five offense. They're good defensively, but they're a bottom five offense. Really slow pace. Mo Pete comes on a little bit. He becomes a 14-point-a-game guy. Antonio Davis, another good year, but Vince misses 20-plus games, and this is when not only did we get you know, the criticism of Vince going to school, but this is when the "is Vince actually soft" narrative starts to come up.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do remember that. And I think it also speaks to sort of what we were discussing before about like the hockey media covering Vince angle. Mm-hmm. And not only was this Vince, but like the "are they actually soft" narrative would follow the Raptors every year.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they brought in guys like Tyler Hansbrough to be like, finally, there's some toughness. It's just like, what are you, like, who cares?
And if you thought that was bad, oh man, 2002-2003 was, holy smokes. They go 24 and 58. Vince plays half the games. He plays 42 games. His scoring average drops by 5 points. We go from him missing 20 to him missing 40 games. The "is he soft" question becomes like the first thing anyone mentions about him for the next 3 years, I would say.
Yeah, there's also a key moment here that I feel like doesn't get talked enough about enough in the Vince saga, which is in 2004. So just after this, the Toronto Raptors have the 8th pick in the NBA draft. This is the year after drafting Chris Bosh for help. And Vince tells the front office that they should draft a player named Andre Iguodala, who goes one pick. He goes number 9. The Raptors at number 8 instead take Rafael Araújo. So we've talked before about how the Raptors could have had Camby, Vince, McGrady. The Raptors also could have had Vince, Bosch, and Iguodala. And like, if they listen to Vince, maybe he doesn't demand the trade. Maybe the Raptors in the late 2000s, when the Eastern Conference was not great, build around Chris Bosch, Vince Carter, and a young Andre Iguodala, that'd be a good team.
You're damn right it would be a good team.
That would be a good-ass team.
2002-2003 team is not good.
No.
24-58. Some of the guys that Vince plays with in this team. Maceo Bastin, Lindsey Hunter, Chris Jeffries, Vachon Leonard, Jelani McCoy. Mamadou Ndiaye plays 22 games. It was a really bad team. Greg Foster.
Jelani McCoy, boy.
Michael Bradley plays 67 games. Really bad. JYD starts most of the season.
Yeah.
It's a really bad team. They're really, really, really bad. And this is Vince is starting to get booed. It's really ugly.
We blew past one thing that I just want to touch on really quickly because I've never gotten over it. In the 2001-2002 season, when they lost the Pistons the first round of the playoffs.
In five.
Chris Childs throws up a last second shot with like 8 seconds left on the clock from half court. I've never gotten over it.
No, I get
been
mad.
18 years and we've won a championship and I'm still mad about it.
My first note in our rewatch was like, I'm still mad at Chris Childs. Something we skipped over, they signed fucking Hakeem Olajuwon. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I don't remember Hakeem Olajuwon playing a single game, but he played quite a bit, apparently.
I absolutely remember this because I remember being young enough that I knew who Hakeem was, but I didn't know who Hakeem was.
Mm-hmm.
And it being like a big deal, the Raptors signed Hakeem. And then him being like, fine.
Yes.
And kind of be like, what's the big deal? And now it's like, oh, I see. One of the strangest, like, it's up there with like Frank Thomas playing for the Blue Jays.
Totally.
Just like odd legends that played in Toronto for a second.
But Vince has a season-ending knee injury that year. So that they are playing that series, I believe, without Vince when they go to 5.
And if I believe correctly, they had to, like, they went on a bit of a win streak without Vince to scrape into the playoffs that year.
Which is the worst thing that could possibly happen for the news radio.
Yes.
Antonio Davis and Keon Clark being your Twin Towers sort of carrying you into a playoff run. That's how teams get torn apart, is your best player gets hurt and you play well enough to get into the playoffs anyway. That's how bad things start.
And if I remember correctly, I believe it would have been after that season. After 2002-2003 season. Yeah, that was when Davis wanted to leave because the story was he didn't want his children learning the metric system. And I remember everyone turned against him real quick with that.
Now, for what it's worth, he's 35 years old. Like, for sure. But absolutely hilarious. Everybody that was on that team ended up, other than maybe JYD and Alvin Williams, and I guess Mo Pete, they end up sort of becoming enemies of yeah. fan base.
At best, they're footnotes like Keon Clark. At worst, they're actively disliked.
And this hurt sticks around. Like Vince and Antonio Davis and those guys saying they wanted to leave, that sticks around with this fan base. It comes up again with Bosch.
It's still here. It's still
totally,
here.
Totally. It comes up again with Bosch. It came up with, well, I guess Tracy McGrady probably started it. T-Mac and Stoudemire, yeah. and then Vince, and then Antonio Davis. And I think that's part of why Kyle and DeMar were so beloved, right? That
I think so.
Ends up being part of the franchise's history.
And but I mean, but that narrative's still here. Like, forget Kawhi leaving, which is its own thing. But like, there's still the worry in now that we've won a championship, we're a respected, well-respected franchise. The Raptors have still never made the massive star acquisition via free agency.
Right.
No star has ever chosen to come here.
They'd never. The big fish is Turkoglu. It's Damari Carroll. It's never A1 guys. It's role players who probably wouldn't get the same money anywhere else.
As much as winning a championship, I think, has and will make a difference. Like, I do think this is not as much of a worry as it once was, but like, it all starts here. It's all Vince, like, going forward. Vince is the first relationship that breaks your heart for real, and you're always like, you'll get over it, but like, you always remember, like, the seeds of that pain are always there.
It's how, you know, fans here get their guard up so quickly.
And yeah.
I remember thinking that Lowry was going to leave the year that they drafted Bruno. I was like, oh, they didn't do enough. Lowry's gone. I was like so certain of it. The story moves forward. Vince is still on the team in 2003, 2004, but now he's getting booed at home and saying he won't dunk. He's playing with Jalen Rose and Donyell Marshall and Milt Palacio and Gennaro Pargo and Lonnie Baxter. Mengeki Batir, Chris Jeffries is a really bad team as well.
I had big hopes for Mengi Batir.
The milkshake. Milt Palacio, a funny story, was he became like a verb in my friend's group for anybody that could like get to the rim but never hit a layup. That was a Milt Palacio.
Yeah.
Like Patrick McCaw is a Milt Palacio. He is like dyed in the wool Milt Palacio. They went 33-49, and that is basically the beginning of the end. Vince is traded the next year in ugly, ugly fashion. Ugh.
Yeah, and of course, as we know, his first game back in Toronto, he goes off.
No good. The door is open for the Nets.
Enough time, though.
Kidd, 3 seconds. Carter, looking for the win. He buries it! Vince Carter! Back in Toronto with a bang!
Welcome home. Incredibly timed. Calderon right there. What? Just an unbelievable shot by Vince Carter to cap this off.
And it's Vince Carter putting up 42 points, including the game-winning three ball for the Nets.
Just, like, couldn't script it better.
And or man, worse. He averaged 16 points a game in his 20 games his last year with the Raptors. Inexcusable. Like, really bad. I not soft. I was softish on this recently where I was like, you know, we're being a little hard on him and the team was really bad. But like, man, he fucking dogged it because he immediately goes and averages 28 points a game with the fucking Nets immediately and plays 82 games a year for the next 3 years.
I definitely have. I have fully forgiven Vince.
Yeah,
I think I think that I was at a game. I want to say it was like 2015. Mm-hmm. I want to say I was at a regular season game against when Vince was on the Grizzlies. Maybe it was 2015, 2016. Vince is on the Grizzlies and he came into the game and the whole crowd gave him a standing ovation.
Right.
And it was one of those moments. I think we actually talked about it on a Sports World back in the day. It was one of those moments of like, okay, we as a franchise have grown up and moved on. We are now, we have our stars. We're making the playoffs. We have a well-run team. There's a bright future. We can finally let this go.
Yeah.
And I think that I understand why not all Raptors fans are there. Like any Raptors fan who's like, who's still like, fuck Vince Carter. I get it 100%. But personally, I've moved past it and over it and am able to sort of look at the good Vince did for the team and the city. But when you go relive like 2002 through 2004, it's like, man, at the time I fucking hated him.
Of course he was.
And like,
yeah, absolutely.
I hated Vince Carter in 2004.
And he deserved it, man. Fuck him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. He deserved it. It was, and it's just unbelievable. It's actually a longer period of time than I remember. Like from the missing the shot to being traded. I thought it was like a year and a half, 2 years.
Right.
But like knowing that it was like those 3 years and the team was so bad and he has had nothing around him. It was just like, man, it was such a slow but steep decline.
I think it's really funny. I've been thinking about this because like, it's really funny that he went from a guy who was clearly dogging it and didn't care and threw into the effort to like his entire career then became about playing more than anybody else and playing more minutes than anybody else, with the added caveat of like he hasn't played in a meaningful game in like 5 years.
Since Dallas, I guess.
Memphis got swept in 2016, if you want to say that's a meaningful game. They lost in six in 2017. So like he's played in first round playoff games in the last 5 years, but that's it. I think there's something really funny to that of like, he made the second round in 2014, 2015. He made the second round and he played 16 minutes a game and averaged 6 points a game. I think there's a hilarious dichotomy of like, he's going to go on playing more than anybody else, totally cursed to only play in meaningless games for the last half decade.
I think there's also, I'm just thinking of this now that you're saying this, there's also a funny sort of symmetry with him and T-Mac.
Yeah.
In that they will always, in Toronto anyway, they will always be intrinsically linked. And then T-Mac also, like, his whole thing was he couldn't get out of the first round.
Yep.
And, like, two guys who had great careers, I think probably both Hall of Famers.
Absolutely.
But just never won anything.
Yeah, because T-Mac's and, like, already in, and Vince will get in.
Yeah. But, like, it's just, I think about this a lot, especially the way that Vince's career has kind of ended. It's so odd to say, like, where do you put the value? Because I think there is value to how long and how much he's played. Like, it's crazy.
Totally.
How long and how much he's played.
He wants the games played numbers. I've always thought it's really funny is like, he never really gets deep into the playoffs again. The second round is sort of what he does. And I guess 2010 with Orlando, I mean, that's still only, he gets to the third round with Orlando in 2010. That's as far as he gets, the Eastern Conference Finals. Really interesting. A very interesting career that Vince has had. I know T-Mac has come out and said that he in hindsight, should have stayed because they would have been an unbelievable duo, and that is true.
They would have dominated the Eastern Conference. I don't know if they would ever win, but like those early 2000s Eastern Conference championship teams were not good. Like those Nets teams were fucking terrible.
It is also crazy to look at it and go, man, T-Mac really didn't get a fair shake here. Like,
no.
Because they both sort of played wing, I guess you could say, oh, you would only do so much with both of them. But man, you could have played them both and figured out the rest. Like, you really could have.
Yeah, I very much believe that had both of them played at that time, they would have absolutely dominated the Eastern Conference.
Because again, T-Mac, he averaged 15 points a game in his last game with the Raptors, only started 34 games, immediately averages 27 and then 25 and then 32. Like, they would have been unstoppable. But that is sort of the story of what it was like to cheer for the Raptors at that time, is you got your young star and you hoped that in the first 3 years they won because they were going to leave. That's just what happened.
Yeah.
Even Vince staying for as long as he did at the time was like, oh my God, Vince is staying for 4 years, 5 years. It just didn't happen. And again, we mentioned it didn't happen again until Lowry, because Bosch bolted it pretty quickly. And it was very emblematic of what it was like to be a Raptors fan at the time, was sort of that always just happy to be relevant. We were happy to be relevant in 2001, and we've come a long way.
They sort of built their teams in that mindset, I feel like. I know that wasn't obviously the intention.
No, they sacrificed a lot of picks.
You sacrificed a lot of picks. Like, you look at Vince and Bosch's careers in Toronto, like, other than like the 2001-2002 team, like, Bosch never had anything around him.
No.
And
no,
like, even
ever.
That team that made the playoffs in 2006, like that wasn't that good a team.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
It was always sort of, we have our one star and we'll put some like middling role players around them and see what happens. It was never like, let's go make a team around these guys.
So we wrap it up. Jake, what was your big takeaway going back and rewatching the 2001 Game 7?
My big takeaway was, like, it makes me sad in a way of everything we've just sort of talked on. Like, and even like the years where we lost to LeBron was still like the bench mob year 2 years ago where we got swept. That season was so fun. And like, it kind of bums me out that there's like a decade there that could have been so fun as a Raptors fan that instead was like just awful. Like, yeah. So bad.
Yeah, because it gets worse. We cut off at the trade. It gets a lot worse for like another 5 years.
And like, I'm glad that the team, you know, stuck through it and is still here and like obviously reaching the top of the mountain. But it's just like, man, there's just so many what could have been. Like, I'm not going to say that like we would have been like a championship dynasty or anything.
I understand. Yeah.
But like, we could have had 15 years of just like fun, good basketball teams in this city.
Totally. And man, if they had had T-Mac, you wouldn't be able to fucking throw your entire team at Vince Carter. He would have had somebody to pass to.
And that's all it was. And like, the Lakers had Shaq and Kobe.
Yes.
They had other good players, but like, it was very much like, okay, you guard the one.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, we saw Vince drives, he's triple teamed. If he's kicking to T-Mac instead of Mo Pete and Charles Oakley, like, you know, who knows?
I do. And just one last thing. In 2001, Nick Nurse led the London Towers to a 27-7 record, good for first in the division. They lost in the semifinals of the cup, whatever that would be. The London Towers, coached by Nick Nurse. So there is your closer. That's how far we were.
If Nick Nurse was coaching the Raptors in 2001, they would have won that game. That's what I'll say.
He was in the, they were in the English Basketball League, the EBL.
The EBL, wow.
27-7.
That's a long journey.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Baby.
19 years, wow.
Man, 27-7, that's 79.5% basketball. That's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, Nick Nurse is the best.
Is the best. Folks, thank you for coming along with us for another look back. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to doing it again. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you to Sean and Clay for the editing and the ideas, and to Dylan for doing all the work and putting everything together and putting up with us. We will find another fun thing to watch. We'll go back up next time. We went down,
yeah.
We went up, we're down again. We will go up. If you have a good idea, let us know in the Discord or on Twitter what you want us to go back and look at and watch and talk about. But until then, we thank you very much for listening to Sportsville.
Pistons at 3, Toronto, last chance to tie it. Who gets the ball? Chris Childs with a, I don't know what that was. Foul. It was a mess.
It was foul. Hey, get
well, they needed a three.